It's having the right perspective and knowing that our God is a provider and he seeds in order to provide, and he knows all of our situation, all of our circumstances, and he needs our faith. We have to remember that God is a faith God. Like it says in Hebrews 11:1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, in verse 6 it says, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So like whatever your situations are, like we've heard tonight, there's many different situations, people trying to stop us from speaking and living and being who we are in Christ. We just go to God and we diligently seek him. And he's the one that will direct our hearts and our minds. And, you know, I've been really looking into the things that hold us back in life. What's held me back as a believer. And really, again, from the time we're born, you know, we're conditioned. Because we're born into this world. We don't know nothing, right? And everything that we do understand is what we've been fed. You know, we've been programmed by our families and the people that we surround ourselves with. Now the world's trying to condition us and programming us with our behaviours, how we think, what we should speak. But we got the mind of Christ. You know, we've got the Spirit of God in us. And every day, like, we get up and put our clothes on, we get up and we decide to put the mind of Christ on. That we're going to live from this new man. That the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God. That we're not going to frustrate the grace where God can go to work freely in our lives, you know, by focusing with the old man. And this theme for the year was that we're to walk in newness of life, that we're to be led by the Spirit of God. That, and the theme before that was to live by faith. So God has been building the picture. And I realise, you know, this confession, like, God gives us also what to say, as well as we can confess his promises over our life. And I realised when I'd done that faith and confession seminar, that God showed me how to speak first, how we need to speak and confess. Then I realised that the word is first in our mouth, then in our heart. What we repeatedly say and believe becomes a part of us. And this builds our minds and our thoughts. And we know that we think in pictures, right? So if you think about it, when someone is speaking, you get a picture of what they're saying. It builds the picture. So what's the image you've got in your heart? What's the image you've got in your mind? In the beginnings of Genesis, you know, it says that the image of the people's minds were continually evil before God. In Romans 1, where it talks about the homosexuals, the lesbians and all this stuff, it says that, you know, their imaginations were evil. Like, you know, what is the imagination of our heart? And I was looking at the word imagination, and it's a great study, actually. If you go to Genesis 11, I wanted to read to you. It says in Genesis 11:1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had bricks for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city, a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we are scattered abroad upon the face of the earth, whole earth. And the Lord, so what they were imagining to do, their purpose, and what they planned as one, it got God's attention. And verse 5 says, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the children of man builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is of one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restraint from them which they imagine to do. So, you know, the imagination of our heart, is it God? Is it God first? Is it God's perspective on life? Or is it what we've learnt from this world's systems? You know, we can demolish our human logic, like it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it says, casting down or demolish that human reasoning and bringing every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. You know, so I don't have to respond the world's ways with their attitudes and with their mindsets, and nor do you. You know, because, you know, God is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We can go to him for his wisdom. He's also given us spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, because we have that Spirit of God. You know, we're to put the Lord Jesus Christ on in our heart, in our mind, and we're to control our thinking. You know, we're not to be conformed to this world's ways, but we're to be transformed by getting a new image in our minds. An image of who we are in Christ. It says that as he is, so are we in this world. And we can do the same works that he done and greater. So it's like I was sharing with Kim in the week. I said, you know, it's all about perspective. And we want God's perspective on situations. So for an example, I was sharing with her that, you know, when someone's offended us, we can either dwell on the negatives of what they've done to us, or we can look at it from a different perspective of, okay, I didn't like what they've done, but I'm thankful because I've learnt many things about this whole situation. And it's how we respond to that situation. We can respond negatively because we've been hurt. We can say, well, no, these guys, they hurt us. You know, they didn't say the right things. They, you know, we can put the blame, rather than taking responsibility and looking and weighing that situation up with the right heart and with the right mind, and that we can look at the things for good. So a lot of people blame their past. I blame my past a lot, you know, for my future failings that I've had. But when I look back, all the negative things that happened to me, with the right mind and with the right perspective, I'm thankful for it, because it's made and shaped me to who I am now. So I don't have to look back on those negative situations from a wrong perspective. But now I know that no matter what I was told, like, Lawrence, you're no good. Lawrence, you can't do things. Leave it to other people to do. I used to believe that. That was programmed into me. You know, and the world's trying to program their stuff into us, but we need to know who we are in Christ. What are the promises of God to us? What does God think of me? When I start to think those thoughts, those ways, and take no thought for the things of this world, then I can be free from those things. And just like we do by repetition, when we're learning the scripture, what do? To learn a scripture is by repetition. We quote the first, Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 1:2. The more I quote that scripture reference and the scripture reference, I'm getting that established in my heart. I'm reprogramming what I've been programmed with from the world. So the image that we carry about ourselves is very important. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That word mind is imagination. So that tells you a lot. It's very, very big. You know, so what we listen to is very important. What we allow to go down into our heart is very important. I used to find myself really thinking about all the negative things that have happened to me as a believer, how different believers have treated me in the wrong way. And all that done was take away my faith, right? That just made me come depressed and come down. But when I reevaluated the things in the light of God, then it showed me that my perspective was wrong and my thinking was wrong, and I was able to free myself. You know, it says in Galatians 5:1, stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Well, what thoughts are we still entangled with? We can cut those thoughts off us with the truth of who we are and knowing who we are in Christ, and we can get a new figure in mind, and we can have proper focus, we can have proper vision. You know, and we got the new year coming up. I was thinking a great thing would be 2020 vision. You know, 2020 vision. But I don't know yet. I see what God's saying. But that came to my heart when I prayed. You know, that God really wants us to have revelation of who we are and who he is, so that we can walk. And God is with us and he's for us. And we don't have to... See, when you start thinking on the negative things, what it does, it starts an emotion in you going. If you think of a sad thought, if you think of how someone has hurt you or wronged you, it can stir up emotions of anger, emotions of resentment. And God doesn't want us to have that. Look, listen, God says has a lot to say through the scriptures on your mind, on your thoughts, on your emotion. We're a free part being, body, soul and spirit. Our bodies are subject to our minds, and so are our emotions, and it all depends on what we're feeding our minds. So, you know, the more I'm reading the scriptures, the more I'm getting so blessed, and the more I'm, you know, asking God for his wisdom to enlighten me, to show me the things that I need. And Kelly likes that. I love it. Ha ha. 2020 vision. I think it's a great theme. You know what I mean? Because, you know, we're in the year 2020. And the vision is God's word over the world. But first of all, it needs to be over us too. That we can really be led by the Spirit of God. That we're not cut down by emotions. And if you think of all the skirmishes within the body of Christ, where there's disagreements, where there's arguments, all these type of different things, if we learn to take it from a different perspective than God's perspective, then we can move freely. You know, we can be emotionally unburdened, as well as, you know, see, if you think about your emotions, how you're affected, it gets to a point, if you don't deal with them, then you can open yourself up to devil spirits. And a lot of people that are emotionally scarred and that have been in mental hospitals or they've broken down, you know, their minds are in such a wrong place that it affects their body. You know, where they got many illnesses, where they got to be pushed around in wheelchairs, or that, you know, they develop diabetes because their diet's not right, because their minds is not right. God has provided everything for us, and Jesus Christ was a complete savior. He not only paid for our spiritual salvation, he not only paid for our physical healing, he also paid for the mental and emotional things as well. He went through those things, and he never broke fellowship with the Father, but he kept his focus with the Father. He must have been such a great man, and he was a great man, to think that when those people were beating him, when they were hurting him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When we do that, we release ourselves from the clutches of the enemy. No judgment can be brought upon you when you forgive someone in your heart. Even if they haven't changed, you can forgive, let go, and move on. And, you know, you can travel light mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and also physically. So that's what is God's been working in my heart. That's what I've been going through in the scriptures this week. And I'm still developing myself and educating myself on this. And there's a lot that God has to say about it. So I wanted to encourage you to think about these things. You know, if you're struggling with your emotions, you know, I've spoken to different people and they've struggled. And they're wonderful believers. And they have problems with the heart and with the mind and with emotions and different thoughts. But we can bring it into subjection to the obedience of Christ. If we understand how it works, and God has explained it very much, like, be anxious for nothing. So what do we do instead of being anxious? You know, we give everything to God by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, keeping a thankful heart, keeping the right mindset. And so there's just so many wonderful things to learn. And, you know, as you do this, not only do you free yourself in your mind, but also in your body. And so these things are just really fantastic, I believe. And I challenge you to go to the scriptures yourself and have a look. Ask God to open it up for you. And sometimes it can be challenging for people that listen to this if they're going through these thoughts and negative thoughts and emotions that are attacking them. But God wants these things put to bed. You know, we are, I believe, like Nancy believes, that Jesus Christ could come back at any time. But we're not going out of here until there's more victory for God, more souls won for God. And we can't help anyone else if we're all emotionally and mentally tied up in different areas. God wants you free. If you continue in my word, Jesus said, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And God's got an answer for everything that pertains to life and godliness. So that's what I wanted to share. So.